The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is repentance? Is it merely a change of mind? Is it a necessary condition for gaining eternal salvation? We thank you for joining us today, friend. This is Grace in Focus, and it is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. Go there to find out about our conferences, our national conference, and regional conferences. Also, find our bookstore where Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, can be acquired. That's faithalone.org. And now, with today's question and answer discussion, here's Bob Wilkins along with Sam Marr.
All right, Bob, we have a question from Casey. The question is essentially, isn't repentance the same thing as a change of mind? And he mentions, you know, some of the Greek, metanoia, metanoia, some uses of that word. But some things that stuck out to me in the question are, he asks, if a person hasn't believed it yet, and it is referring to the promise of everlasting life, he says, if a person hasn't believed it yet, don't they have to change their mind in order to believe it? He says, as a child, I had to change my mind about how I was going to please God from being a good boy, works, to believing in God's way of trusting Jesus to receive the free gift. So that's basically his question. And then he throws in Proverbs 16:25, which says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
Okay, so he says, doesn't repentance mean a change of mind? And when we believe in Christ for everlasting life, aren't we in some sense changing our mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it just so happens, Casey, that's what I argued in my doctoral dissertation at Dallas Theological Seminary from 1983, and I finished it in 1985. And we published 6 articles in our journal, Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, between 1989 and around 92. So you can look those up at our website, in which I defended the change of mind view. It's called the change of mind view. That was the view of Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder of Dallas Seminary. Then in around 1997, I changed my mind about the change of mind view. In other words, I repented of my former view of repentance. And here's the conclusion I came to. There are no verses, not a single one, anywhere in the Old or New Testament that says, he who repents has eternal life. He who repents will be with me forever in my kingdom. Repentance is never a condition of everlasting life. Repentance is a condition of salvation from physical death or ramifications that lead in that direction. In other words, if someone is sinful and they don't turn from their sinful ways, then God's discipline against that person, or if it's an unbeliever, God's judgment against that person is going to get worse and worse and worse, ultimately culminating in premature death unless they turn from their wicked ways. So there are no such verses. When I wrote my dissertation, I thought there were 11. Verses like, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5. But I had overlooked the word likewise. And if you look in the context, likewise refers to physically dying.
Mm-hmm.
Jews were killed by Pilate when he mingled their blood with sacrifices. Jews were killed 18 when a tower fell on them and they physically died. So when he says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, he means you will all likewise die. He's not talking about eternal condemnation. The same with the other 9 passages I once thought dealt with repentance as a condition for eternal life. And you can go to our website. I wrote a journal article in around 98 called Why I Changed My Mind on Repentance, or Do You Need to Change Your Mind Concerning Repentance? Now, coming back to Casey's question, the word metanoia is related to meta and nous. Nous in Greek means mind. Meta, one of the meanings, is after. Same thing with the verb. Metanaeo has the same basic root. But it's a root fallacy to say because the root of the word means after and mind, therefore it must mean after mind or change of mind. However, I will say that when you study the word in the New Testament, it's always used of changing one's mind about sinful behavior with the result that one turns from it. In other words, Casey, let's say someone said, you know what, I know I've been living in sin with this woman that's not my wife, and I have decided I'm not going to do that anymore. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to do that anymore. But I keep living with her. I keep sleeping with her. I keep sinning. Have I repented?
No.
No, right? So repentance in the Bible is more than just I decide I'm going to turn. I actually turn. Take the example of the Ninevites. Jesus said in Matthew 12:41, the Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah, and greater than Jonah is here. Well, if you go back to Jonah chapter 3, Jonah came and said 40 days, and then comes destruction. And it says they believed God. They believed God about the coming destruction. So what did they do? They all repented, from the king all the way down to the peasant. And in verse 10, it says, when God saw that they turned from their wicked ways, he relented from the destruction which he was going to bring. So they saved their physical lives by turning from their wicked ways.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
So they saved their physical lives by turning from their wicked ways. Now, that doesn't mean that however many people were in Nineveh, probably somewhere between 1 and 2 million people, because one of the last verses says there was 150,000 children that didn't know their left hand from their right. It's not saying that all those people were born again. Jonah, at least initially, did not evangelize them. He preached judgment.
And it also doesn't say that they just changed their mind about their sin. They repented and turned away from that sin. And the sackcloth and ashes was a physical way of expressing that. So I want to come back to what made this question really interesting to me. You've done a really thorough job of examining, okay, repentance is not the way to everlasting life. It's belief in Jesus Christ for it.
Right.
We know that also because of the lack of repentance in the Gospel of John. The point Casey brings up I want to look at is, even if we remove the Greek word for repentance, is by believing in Jesus Christ for everlasting life, is that a change of mind? Even if we don't want to call it repentance, do you have to change your mind about believing in Jesus for everlasting life? Or is that also maybe not the best way of looking at it?
Okay, that's a good question. And Casey basically said when he was a child, when he was a small boy, he thought the way to be born again or have everlasting life or be guaranteed to go to heaven, what did he call it? Was by pleasing God?
By being a good boy.
Being a good boy.
Is how you please God.
Yeah. So I assume by what he said there that you had to please God to get into the kingdom. But he said he changed his mind and came to the view that you must believe in Jesus Christ. I think he used the word trust. And that it's only believing. It's not being a good boy.
Right.
So did he change his mind? Yes. My experience was like that. Yes. A lot of our experiences were like that. But what if you were dealing with someone who had no concept of life after death, had no concept of what they would have to do to be with God forever, and you evangelize that person? Well, I suppose you could say it was a change of mind because before they didn't believe in life after death and now they do. Before they didn't think that believing in Jesus was going to give them eternal life and now they do. But the point is, that's really not called a change of mind per se. In other words, these words anyway are not used that way. But if you want to say, is there a change of mind from unbelief to belief? Sure.
Well, the point I wanted to make was, I think a better word, if we're going to talk about a change of mind, a better word than repentance is persuasion. And I would say, if someone is, let's say, an atheist, they don't believe in God, and I have a conversation with them, and after that conversation, they now believe in God, they didn't change their mind about believing in God. Their mind was changed by whatever evidence I bring up. And so the same with the promise of everlasting life. Someone doesn't believe that Jesus Christ offers everlasting life to everyone who believes in him for it. But if we make a case for it through our evangelism and the Holy Spirit works on his heart, and now he believes, his mind has been changed. He has been persuaded. So I wouldn't use repentance. I would use persuasion. So you can call it a change of mind, but you can't just wake up and say, I believe this now. You have to be convinced. You have to know it. You have to be persuaded.
Right. And so a lot of people wonder, okay, this sounds Calvinistic, right? It sounds like, well, God has to persuade me. And the answer is yes and no. Remember in John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus was speaking to some legalistic Jews, and he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. In other words, they're looking at the commandments and going, hey, I'm doing real well. That's why they kept asking about what are the greatest commandments. They wanted to make sure they were checking the right boxes. And he said, but these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So a willingness to be persuaded is something which in most of us is necessary. Now, maybe not with a child, because you may grow up in a Christian home and you may simply hear this and not even remember a time when you were not persuaded. But the other part I would mention is Acts 16:14. Lydia was at the place of prayer. This was in Philippi. It didn't even have enough men to have a synagogue, so they met down by the riverside for prayer. She was there and she heard the Apostle Paul speak. And in Acts 16:14, it says, God opened Lydia's heart that she might heed the things spoken by Paul and Silas. The opening of the heart does not mean regeneration. It means he allowed her to see the truth. And when she did, she was persuaded. So we don't really choose to change our mind. It happens to us. But it happens to us when we're open. That's why Jesus says, if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be open.
Right.
And so we're to pursue the truth about the free gift of eternal life. For some of us, it takes more effort than others to find the truth. But it happens to us when we're open, when we're receptive. And so, yeah, I like your point. I really wouldn't call it a change of mind. I like synonyms like persuasion, being convinced. Believing is simply being persuaded, being convinced.
Well, thanks for the question, Casey. And remember, everybody,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On our next episode, Is There an Age of Accountability? Please join us. And until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.